Today we're going to talk about following the king. You know, it is the war of two kingdoms, God's kingdom versus the enemy's kingdom. And the enemy is holding this territory, this colony of mud. And the Lord is taking it back and he's raising up an army. And there's a cost to that. You know, throughout Jesus' ministry on earth and throughout the story of the church in the last 2,000 years and then in all through the Old Testament, when the Lord calls somebody to him, it's the greatest blessing you will ever have. But it comes with a cost. And the way God calls individuals is individual. Moses, you know, he met the Lord at the burning bush. And if you read scripture, people meet the Lord in multiple different ways. Sometimes a still voice, sometimes through somebody else. However God wants to do it, because God is an individual God, along with being the corporate God. But one thing always happens when God meets a person. And every person's meeting of God, like I said, is different. But when God gives you that blessing to come and follow him, your life will become more complicated. We tend to think that if we're blessed by God, our lives become easier and more comfortable. How many have had that thought? It's just not true. It becomes more fulfilling for sure, but it will become more complicated. Just like on the other side of the spectrum, when we make poor choices and negative consequences follow that, they complicate our lives. Any decision you make, positive or negative, will complicate your life. But when we follow the Lord, we will grow, mature, find a purpose for why we are here, and we will enter into a life that is fulfilling. And that's the beauty of it. But think about this. All blessings are complicated. You know that? If you get married, that's a blessing. But your life will become more complicated. If you have children, that's a blessing. But your life becomes more complicated. Every step of the way, there will be new and interesting complications. If you go to school, that is a blessing. But your life will become more complicated. If you get a promotion, that is a blessing. But your life will become more complicated. If you start a business, that can be a blessing, but your life will become more complicated. If you get sober, that's a blessing, but your life will become more complicated. If you follow Jesus, that is a major blessing, the best blessing ever that God would call you, because he's for you, but your life will become more complicated. And how many know that if you serve others, you really find out that that truly is a blessing. But you'll also find out your life becomes more complicated. There is no such thing as a blessing without complication. Get used to it, embrace it, grow from it, enjoy it, and dream bigger. Because if it's going to be complicated, you may as well be complicated big. But one of the reasons we draw back is because of complications. And we sometimes look at a complication as an obstacle that cannot be overcome, and so we must shrink back from it. No. We must push through it. It is in the complications that we grow and get wise and we learn and we become who we're supposed to become. So today we're going to look at a guy in Scripture in Mark chapter 10 who the Lord had called, but he had to make some decisions that would complicate his life. And so let's take a look at his life and see what we can learn from it. It tells us in Mark chapter 10, verse 17, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" In Luke 18, we get a little bit more information about this guy, and it says, a certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So we learn two things. One, he was a man of wealth, because we'll find that out later. This was a very wealthy man, and he was a man of power. a man who had authority in a realm of his life and in the community. Now, previous to this, a little backstory, Jesus had been teaching the people, and children were being brought to him by their parents. And the disciples were causing a wall against that and telling them not to let the little children come to Jesus. Now, in their thinking at that time, little children were a problem. They interfered with the master and what he was trying to accomplish. They were noisy. But more than that, these children had no power nor rights. There was nobody ever prosecuted for doing harm to children. Children had no legal standing. In fact, their father had complete and utter authority over them. They were the helpless of society. They were even more helpless than women. Women had a few rights. But it was a male-dominated world. And children were the least honored of all beings. And so they were considered an annoyance and a hindrance to what Jesus was doing. And Jesus said, hey, stop hindering the kids from coming to me. For these ones are whom the kingdom of heaven is for. I'm for the helpless. I'm for the ones that have no rights. I'm for the broken. I'm for the rejected. I'm for the nuisance. I'm for the ones that nobody considers of value. And so the disciples were looking at this. Immediately following this, this man, wealth and position, probably had the look, probably had, you know, people knew who he was. He came running up. What did the apostles do? They made a way for him straight to the Lord. And it says he fell down at his feet. You know, that's how God's kids can be sometimes. We have a way of thinking the kingdom of God is very much like the kingdom of the earth. That the ones with power and prestige and wealth, position, they get the open door to Jesus. And those that don't, we need to keep away. I remember in 79, this was before I became a Christian, but I remember Bob Dylan, it was big news. How many know who Bob Dylan is? He only shaped a generation, but don't let that bother you. He became a Christian. And within 30 minutes of being a Christian, he was on Christian television, Christian radio, giving his testimony. They burned him out within a week. And he said, I'm not being a part of this anymore. But see, that's our mentality oftentimes. The beautiful. It was like, Bob Dylan became a Christian. Coop for God. God got a good one. Finally, we get some power. I mean, you look at Facebook. Every time somebody of any fame mentions Jesus, we go gaga over it. Like God's going, yay, I want somebody. God, that just hurt my foot. Yeah. But I won't complain that much. I'm spiritual. I suffer in silence. Hey, listen. Don't ever buy it that God's looking for superheroes. He's not a football coach looking for first stringers. He's not draft-choicing people. He's looking for the lost and the broken, because from God's perspective, we're all lost and broken. We just get lost and broken in different ways. We all are in trouble. We all are in need, and it doesn't end. You know, we're going to see Jesus say something to this rich guy, but he'll tell him to come follow him. You know, in 30 times in the gospel, Jesus tells people to follow me. Only once in all the gospels does it talk about being born again. Why? Because born again's an event. You're born. After that, it's the following Jesus part. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people get saved. I don't know, 8, 10, 12 times. It's like, what do you crawl back in how does that work? And come out again. Okay, I'm better this time. Now I'm good. You're not good being born. You're born once. Then from that point in time, it's learning to walk with Jesus. Follow Jesus. That's where life transformation comes. That's where the complications come in to affect us, to teach us how to walk differently than where we came from. So this guy, wealthy, in position, the word ruler means someone with administrative authority, someone with power in the community, most likely in the synagogue. Most likely, well, he was a leader in the community of believers at that time, the Jewish people. And he asked, but something was missing in him. Something he knew wasn't right. You know, and I've talked to many people that are doing a lot of right things, but they feel distant from God. They feel something's not right. We're not connected. Oh, I'm studying the Word. I'm doing the do's, and I'm trying not to do the don'ts. But I just don't feel the Spirit. I just don't feel God. Well, that was similar to this guy, and he says this to the Lord. He says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How do I get an inheritance? An inheritance is something that you will possess. If you receive an inheritance, most likely it's after that person dies, but it's something that you will possess." He was saying, how do I get that, good teacher? And Jesus responds to him, and he says, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone." He says, hey, dude, you have a misunderstanding of how God looks at things. See, because me standing up here looking at you guys, I see a lot of good people. They're good, but in my mentality, it doesn't mean you're perfect. There's good parts about you. There's cool things about you, but you're flawed, and I'm flawed. You may look up there and think, hopefully you'll think he's a good guy. But you don't say it with the idea that Joe's infallible. Joe never makes a mistake. Jesus looked at this guy, and he says, "Why do you call me good teacher? Don't you know that good, from God's perspective, is an absolute term? Which means you're good in every single aspect of your life and in every single thing you do, it is good." He goes, no one's that except God. So what he's saying to this guy, and the guy didn't mean any disrespect, the guy was a Jewish leader, and he looked at Jesus and he thought he was another teacher. How many of us have met people that think Jesus is another teacher? He's a good teacher. He said to the guy, you're asking me advice. You want to know what my opinion is on what's hindering you from eternal life. So he says, you need to really get that superficial thinking of who I am. See, unless you get the truth and understand that Jesus is God, and that Jesus is good, then and everything he does in your life, every direction he gives you, every do he tells you, every don't he tells you, is meant for your good. If you don't get that down here, you will always, hey, that's a good opinion. And I see it all the time. I see girls and guys that are hungry for Jesus until they meet Bob Awesome and Susie Cream Cheese. And then all of a sudden, don't see them around too much. They're sleeping with each other. They're doing this. They're doing that. Why? Because God was good, but in this area, I don't know if he's good. And it's better to please whoever it is than God. I'm not picking on them. I'm just stating a fact. And there's a whole bunch of others, too. Because some of you are looking back, I see. Hello, hope you're listening. That's why we're told not to judge anybody for this reason. We're told to call people on their stuff. because that's the right thing to do and the loving thing to do. But I'm not to sit around and judge you because I don't know. I can take a snap. You could take a snapshot of me kicking that, setting that pallet on my foot really hard. Most people would call it dropping it. But when I did that, you could take a snapshot of that second of Joe's life and go, that bro ain't saved. Right on church property, too. It was awesome. And he's the pastor. Boy, they let anybody do that stuff these days. Why in my day? That's why we aren't to judge, because people, God, only God knows. So Jesus deals with this guy and says, you need to check. Are you just asking another person for advice? Or are you looking to see what I want to say? So then Jesus answers the question. He says, well, in verse 19, you know the commandments. You're a Jewish guy. You're a leader in the synagogue. You got power. You got prestige. You got position. And you got a lot of wealth. What's the rules? He says, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. And do not defraud and honor your father and mother. He said, those are the commandments. He gave him all the commandments that had to do with his relationship with people. And the guy responds and he says this. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. He says, I've been doing that, man. I've never committed adultery. I don't steal from people. I don't defraud them. I honor my mom and dad. I do that. But still, something was missing in him. Jesus tells us in verse 21, Jesus looked at him and he loved him. I love that dude, he said. And I see the pain and the frustration he walks in. I see the struggle inwardly he has. I'm doing these good things. I'm doing this, but I don't feel God. I don't even know if I'm truly saved. I don't even know if I have an inheritance. I'm following the rules. But I don't know, man. I'm tossed to and fro. You know, that's a sad place. It breaks my heart when I see God's kids in that position. That they're trying to do right, but they just struggle. And where do, you know, am I in? Am I out? It's like, and Jesus loved him. He loved him so much, he says, okay, guy, you want to know, you really want to know. Because there's not a lot of us that are this honest. God, what is my problem? What is my problem, God? How many of us say that actually to God? Not a whole lot, huh? Oh, God, forgive me of this or this and that. I'm praying for so-and-so, that, and that, and that. God, when you start saying, well, God, what is my problem? Why aren't I moving forward? What is going on? See, the Lord loved this guy. And so he said, okay, I'll tell you, dude, because I know you're suffering. I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to be struggling. So I'm going to tell you what your hindrance is. He says, there's one thing you lack, brother. He said this, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. He said, this is the thing that I see in you. You're violating Exodus 23, which tells us to put no idol in front of God. He says, your faith, bro, is in your stuff, is in your wealth. So I'm not even going to ask you to not have it. I'm going to say this to you. Trade it. You go and sell it. Now, see, remember, this is to that guy. When God's dealing with you, he's dealing with you. This is that guy. It's not a universal statement on how to get close to Jesus. And the same thing with, you know, Moses. If you don't have that burning bush experience. No, that was from Moses. Your burning bush experience, your thing is for you. And when God's dealing with you, he's not asking your opinion about what everybody else is doing. I remember being really mad at the church. Because when I got saved, it's one of the... One of the journeys oftentimes we take is we start trying to do everything right, and then we look around and these apathetic people ain't doing nothing. calling themselves Christians. I'm out there slugging it out with the poor and the homeless. And la, 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 God, I'm a true servant. And I said, man, they're not doing it. You know what God told me one day in church? He goes, who are you to judge another man's servant? Joe. I was like, I stopped after that. They're your kids. You can deal with them. And you're way better at it. Because the people I hang with, we never were quick to obey when somebody said, hey, stop doing that. Doing this, doing this, I'll do it more. Yeah, don't tell me what to do. How many have ever had that kind of mindset? Don't tell me what to do. We meant it too. So he says this, hey, this is what you need to do, brother. You need to remove that obstacle between you and me. You can't serve two masters. You love your wealth. So here's what you're going to do. I'm not asking you to lose it. I'm asking you to trade it. Go sell it and then disperse it as you see fit. And then I am going to reimburse you for all of that in heaven. You'll get your inheritance. And then come and follow me, and I'm going to give you a life. It'll bring complications to you. But it'll be a fulfilling life, because all that you've done, you're still not fulfilled. You're missing the point of life. Come follow me. See, in Luke 18, there was another instance of a very wealthy man. And this man said, man, have I got a bunch of stuff. I've been hitting it hard and I've been reaping. I gotta build bigger silos to keep my stuff. I gotta get a bigger house to put more things in. And the Lord said, you foolish man, don't you know that you will be dead tonight and that your stuff will be given away to people you don't even know? So one guy's gonna lose his stuff and has no control over where it goes. And Jesus has given this guy an opportunity in his particular situation that you get to decide how you want to disperse it, and I am going to pay you back equal, and I'm going to give you a life. You know, 1 Timothy 6:10 says this, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Money is not neutral. Money has great deceptive power. It has the ability to make us think that it will protect us. And it is what we need. It is our security. It is our way to handle things. It isn't. Easy come, easy go is true. Hard come, easy go, that's true too. Bottom line is, you lose it at some point. So the wise person invests in eternity. It's not that God's against money. It's part of how it works. He said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. You got to take care of stuff. Follow me, and I'll bless you with everything you need. And that also includes a lot of wants. But he says this, don't love it. It will possess you. And that's not a good thing. And he says, bro, in your case, it's the thing that's killing you inside. You've removed me, the first commandments, and you've taken these other ones, and you follow those, but this one is what's destroying you. It tells us in verse 22 that at this the man's face fell. Now remember, he's been kneeling this whole time before Jesus, wealthy, talking to Jesus, and hearing what Jesus is saying to him. The apostles are all around and watching this thing take place. Just prior, they had seen the kids. They made room for this guy, and now Jesus is telling this guy to go ahead and be poor and follow me. And man, are you going to be wealthy, and you're going to have a great life. This guy's rocked, and it says he was sad. Some of the other versions and says he was grieved. This tore him up. He was, you know, and some of us need to understand this too. When God asks you to give up something, there's a lot of complications with that. You just don't give up one thing. How many know that when you got sober, for you guys that are in here, they got sober, your whole lifestyle had to change. There's a lot of giving up to do. One of the reasons it hinders us is we don't want to give it all up. But we never get free that way. So God wanted to free him, which he thought was a burden. It says he got up and he was sad and he went away because he had great wealth. Verse 23 tells us this, Jesus looked around. So Jesus is still standing there, hasn't moved, as this guy's wandering away. And he looks at his disciples and apostles, and he says this to them, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. They were amazed because in their mentality, wealth, power, position meant you were blessed by God. And now Jesus is telling them that it is super hard for those guys to get into the kingdom of heaven. That was an amazing statement to them. He said what we would all consider a major blessing to be a major problem. It says they were amazed at that. But Jesus said again, children, notice that refers back to right before this story when Jesus was talking about the little kids. He said, you guys are kids. You're dependent on God. He said, children, the disciple, he says, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. There's different interpretations of that, but the most literal one is take a camel and take a needle and jam him through that. Another interpretation for camel is rope. Take a big piece of rope, a little sewing needle, and try to get that rope through the needle. What you would have to do is strip all the strings out of it to get to that one string. It's hard. And then there's another aspect of that to where gates in cities that were fortified, that were walled, oftentimes the gate was big, but as you entered into the gate, it would funnel and become smaller. So in case the city was attacked and the gates were breached, the enemy couldn't just come in full force. They would have to come in at twos and threes and sometimes just one at a time. And that would allow the guards in the military, whoever was protecting the city, to shoot down at them and to limit their ability to access the city. Well, some of those gates were called camel gates because a camel would have to, if you had your camel, camels were used as beasts of burden, so they would carry all kinds of supplies and stuff. In order for a camel to get into that gate, they'd have to take all the stuff off the camel and squeeze the camel through. So whatever interpretation you want to look at, it's really hard. And the disciples listening to this, they were even more amazed. And they said to each other, well, who then can be saved? If the people we think can be saved can't be saved, you can't get a camel through a needle. Who can do it? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. Man can't do it. But with God, all things. Well, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. He goes, no man can figure it out. But God can figure out a way to save even the wealthy. Why? Jesus loved that guy. You know, one of the reasons we don't change is because we don't see value in the change. This man heard the trade-off God wanted. And he looked at that and goes, I don't know if that's a good trade-off. I don't think that's good. That's why Jesus said to him in the beginning, why do you call me good? Because if you call me good, that means I'm God, because only God is good in everything he says to do or don't. So if I tell you this is a good exchange, your stuff for the stuff that lasts forever, that's a good thing for you. He looked at it and said, I don't think it's a good thing. And that's what we've often done. Another reason we don't change is because we're not hurting enough. Pain is the great motivator to change. This dude was hurting. He was hurting. He came to Jesus and said, my life, there's something missing, man. I got all this stuff, all this power, all this position, follow a bunch of the rules, but I'm still hurting. Jesus said, well, let me add to your pain. You want to get free? A bunch of stuff's got to go. See, it was way more than money. Why would his life become more complicated when that guy left? He had to give up his position. He hung up with people that were wealthy. You know, when you're hanging with power brokers, they don't, if you ever notice, they don't hang with the non-power brokers. You ever go to the nice restaurants? They don't have the McDonald's section. For those that don't have money but would like a hamburger there. His world would be changed. His social relationships would be changed. The wealthy don't hang out with the Jesus people. That would change. His family probably wouldn't dig it. Hey, everybody gather around the table. Got a new plan. We're going to give everything away. We're going to follow Jesus. Who's on board? I don't think his grandpa, grandma, mom, dad, I don't know how old he was, any living relatives would say, good move. I was meeting with a very wealthy man the other day, and he wanted to know about nonprofits and what's, you know, and stuff. And I was telling him that nonprofits are designed to meet the needs, to fulfill the need of a charity. That's what a nonprofit is. It's a charitable organization. And, you know, when we were talking about Gabe's homes, and I said, we have four Gabe's homes now, and he goes, well, how much does people make in there? Because that's, you know, that wealthy people think like that. What's the business thing look like, the business model? I said, well, I think the most paid employee gets $600 a month. He goes, I don't even get out of bed for $600. I said, well, that's the difference between a for-profit and a nonprofit is you're passion-driven. And God will provide income usually in other ways or whatever. It's not a profit motive deal. But the dividends are awesome. And the fulfilling part of it's awesome. And all the other things, and then what God's going to do and all that other stuff. It's a good trade-off. But for people in the... So imagine going to that guy. Like Teresa's dad, he was a wealthy man. And he goes, why are you at the mission? You don't even provide adequately for my daughter. And he'd berate me all the time about the serving the God part. So there's, you do something for God, somebody's not going to be happy about it. This guy had to deal with that. So while he's kneeling before the Lord, before he walked away and everybody's watching, this guy's smart. All these scenarios are running through his head. This is going to complicate my life. And then follow you. I don't know where you're going. I don't know what you're doing. Where are you going? How many have asked that question? I'll follow you, God. What's the map look like? So, Jesus said, hey, what's impossible for man to overcome, to get out, to deal with? See, these things are impossible for that dude to drop. To make a change in his life. But this is the key for you guys. It's no different for you. Whatever the complications are in your life, they're going to seem impossible to you. Well, I got to do this. I got to do that. I remember when I wanted to be in ministry. I'm 30 years old. A little bit of sobriety behind my back, full, you know, into Jesus. I got no college degree. I'm driving a beer truck. I'm in debt up to my ears. How am I supposed to be a minister? That's an impossibility. And what's everybody going to think? Because when I told my family I'm into Jesus, they go, what? Oh, your new kick? Just last year you were a vegetarian. You're a cocaine addict. You're this. Well, what's your game now? Good old Joe, always seeking. Well, I hope that works for you. You know, we've been Catholics for a long time. We've had Jesus. It's like, Tell you what, oftentimes when you want to do something for the Lord, not everybody jumps on board with you. You know, and thank God my wife did. That's a beautiful thing for you guys that are single and you're looking and you're waiting for a spouse and you want that thing to happen in your life. Make sure you're on the same page. You know, because if you're not, that's, you know, you guys, don't let loneliness be your guide in dating. That is a problem. Let vision, direction, where your heart is, what you want to do with your life. Spend your time that way. Leave the bed alone. Find out, you know, we're old enough in here that we're investing our lives now. This ain't junior high. You're cute. He's cute. Send a note. You want to be my... Bobby thinks you're cute. Check box. Yes, I'll go with them. No, I won't. I only know that because I got grandkids, and that's what they do. Hey, man, wash your grandkids or kids' clothes when they're little because you find all kinds of stuff in their pockets. Now it's social media, but back in the day, that was the direct line to what's going on. Anyway, Peter, being the guy he is, spoke up after this. Because, he wanted to look at that money thing again. He says, hey, Lord, in verse 28, we have left everything to follow you. In other words, truly I tell you, Jesus, first of all, Peter didn't leave everything. He still had his fishing business. He just was separate from it for a while. He will leave everything. In fact, his wife will come along with him. But at this point, he's walking with Jesus. Plus, Jesus is going to take him back to the rich dude. Because Jesus expounds on the trade-off. He said, I told the rich dude, you give this, I'll give you back. You don't lose nothing. Now he tells Peter this. He says, the Lord replied, no one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. He said, hey, Pete, that guy that just walked away, he would have to give up a bunch of that stuff that I just told you. You didn't have to give up any of it. You're, though, going to get, along with everyone else, not only an equal return, I'm going to give you 100 times that in this world and in the next. Now, what does that mean? Well, look at all the churches that God's given us now. He's given us a place to fellowship. Look at the people around that you didn't know back then, and now they become closer than brothers and sisters. Some of them become parents to us. Even though they're not blood. He says, I'm going to give you those things 100 times beyond what you've given. But listen, Pete, you're giving up what you're giving up. And I've called you to a special place. And I will deal with you in that. But that guy who walked away sad, and I'm not done with him. I'm not done with him. I love him. I love that about this scripture right here. He said, I love. That was his motivation. When you love somebody, you don't give up the first time they. How many of us have had our kids tell us they don't love us anymore? What do we do? Well, that's that then. To the door. We're done here. Good luck in kindergarten. We love them. Oh, it hurts. But we love him and we pursue him. Same thing what God was going to do with this guy. That rich guy, God wasn't done with him. He loved him. And he loved Peter. He said, Peter, don't worry, man. You'll get yours. You'll get yours. I don't forget about you. And in fact, Pete, I'm expounding on this. You get 100 times more. I didn't tell him that. I wanted him to be okay with an even exchange. Which really isn't even, because you get a fulfilling life and you get it for all your stuff for eternity. So it's not even close to even. But that's what I wanted to do to reach him. And he says, hey, fellas, never forget that oftentimes what appears to be the last become the first. That's why it ain't over. When God breaks a chain, it ain't over, man. It's beginning. When the devil thinks he's robbed it from you, it ain't over. That's your platform to step up, to go to that next place. You need to be in touch with the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Follow him. What does that look like? It looks different for each one of us. It looks different. My walk with the Lord has been different than your walks with the Lord. Yeah, we got similarities. We're all people. We have similarities, but God deals with us individually. And your complications, that's the one thing we have in common. It's all complicated. And the Lord loves us. So listen, if there's an area in your life that God wants to change, to take you to something better, something's hindering between you and God, there's only three reasons why you resist. And I've already shared two of them. The first one being, people change. The reason you aren't changing is because you're just not hurting enough. When you're hurting enough, you're willing to change. So you might be at that spot in a particular area of your life, and you may be walking with God, and you may be feeling close now, and everything's cool. Well, you're going to hit it. You're going to run into it. So enjoy the moment. People don't change because they don't know enough. They haven't learned enough yet. This rich guy hasn't learned enough about Jesus that he just wasn't a good teacher. He was more than that. So when we stop ourselves from doing what God wants in whatever area of our life it is, it's one, we don't trust him. Two, we do not understand enough about God. We still think maybe he's not good. Or the third reason is we haven't received enough that we are able to. You know, that's one of the reasons we do a lot of different ministries in this church to support people in their change. Because we understand, as God understands, you need resources to change. You need help to change. And sometimes people can't change because they want to. They just don't know where to go or what to do or which way to hang with it. So if there's an area in your life that is not changing and you have enough information, God wants to do it. I believe him. Trust him. I'm willing to do it. You're hurting enough to where I'm not, whatever it is, I'll do it. Maybe the reason is because you haven't been willing to receive enough support, or you don't know where to go to get it so you can make the change. So, this guy, the rich dude, struggled in those areas. Now, he was going to go back and he's going to look at his other fellows and this lifestyle he lives, and he's going to find it to be still empty. And all of a sudden, that hurt will take a greater place. So what I'm telling you today is, don't be that guy. Be Peter. You know, be Peter. Say, Lord, I'll follow you. I've already committed to following you. What do I get for that again? It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And you deserve it. And you're worth. He said, I'll give you 100 times as much. God is not against us. He is for us, and he wants to bless us. So if he's leading you in a direction, I say go. And anything you got to put aside, your old lifestyle, your this, your that, whatever, you're going to be blessed 100 times. The worst return is 100. That's a good return. How many want that? All right, let's pray. Why don't we stand up? Oh, we're running late. Holy Spirit showed up again, and that messes the whole timing up. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Hey, we need the presence of God this week. This guy had the presence he didn't appreciate. Appreciate the presence of God. He's never far from you. So let me pray for you guys. Lord Jesus, I just lift up everyone in this room today. Father, you know where they're at. You know what they need. You know how to deal with them individually. So, Father, I pray that our ears would be attuned. I pray that as we lay down tonight, God, we would ask you, hey, what is it we need, Lord? What is it with us? You showed us about the rich dude. You encouraged Peter. What about us? What is it? Is there a hindrance in me from going to where you want me to go? And is it because I'm afraid of the complications? God, I want to have the faith to overcome that. How many want the faith to overcome that? All right, God, we pray. You said ask and we shall receive, so we ask for more faith. And all God's kids said, God bless you guys. Have a great day.